We're skipping item F, so go to item G. That's on page 175. Resolution number 07-21-1600 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the FY 2022 budget in the Capital Improvements Project Fund by accepting Harbor Facility Matching Grant. Amendment number 2 from the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities in the amount of $80,728.27. And authorizing its expenditure for the Shoemaker Harbor Replacement Project.
Move to approve resolution number 07-21-1600.
Second.
Okay, moved by Powell, second by Howe. Administrative report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. As the Assembly is aware, I have to combine two things here. We received money from the 2016 Pink Salmon Disaster Funds. And that is the next item on the agenda. We have to use that money on a project that benefits the fleet. And the project that was chosen by our harbor staff, by Steve Miller, our harbor master, was replacement of the net float out at Shoemaker Bay Harbor. We cannot do that for the amount of money we're getting from the 2016 Pink Salmon Disaster Funds. But we had money remaining on the Shoemaker Bay Harbor grant for the replacement of that, of the harbor. So we applied to DOT for an amendment of that, and they are going to provide us with the money we need for the rest of that project, for the basically the matching money. This also includes matching money for money we expended on the construction administration and inspection for the boarding float that we did that was part of amendment number 2 to the project. So this is accepting that additional money from DOT for that grant.
Thank you. Any questions, discussion? Okay, hearing none, poll vote please.
Yes. Assembly members Dalrymple?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
Corson?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item H, that's on page 179. Resolution number 07-21-1601 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the FY 2022 budget in the Capital Improvements Project Fund by accepting the Gulf of Alaska Pink Salmon Disaster Relief Grant in the amount of $46,276 and authorizing its expenditure for the Shoemaker Bay Harbor Net Float Replacement Project.
Move to approve resolution number 07-21-1601.
Second.
Okay, and just a correction. Oh, okay, you're right. 1601. Administrative report?
Second.
Oh, we did have a second.
I have a second.
Second by Powell.
Yeah.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is the second half to the project. It's the second funding resolution to the project I was just discussing, the net float replacement at Shoemaker Bay Harbor. This is accepting the Pink Salmon Disaster Funding Grant. And just to add to this, we also intended to have on this agenda the actual award of this project, but there was discrepancy from the federal agencies as to whether or not we were allowed to use our local bidder preference. So while we're waiting to get an official ruling on that, we are not able to approve that contract. Hopefully that'll come on August 10th.
Okay. Any questions? And for the record, that is resolution 07-21-1600.
Sure.
There's a discrepancy.
Why? Yeah, 1601 is correct.
Oh.
The last one was 1600.
Okay. Maybe I'm in the wrong spot. All right. Poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly members Ryan Howe.
Yes.
Corson.
Yes.
David Powell.
Yes.
Dalrymple.
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert.
Yes. All right. We're skipping item I, and that'll be on the August 10th special meeting or regular meeting. Item J. It's on page 242.
Yeah.
approval to amend the Tideland lease in the Shoemaker Bay Harbor parking lot with vertical bridge to allow a new cellular tower and expansion of the property.
Move to approve to amend of the Tidelands lease in the Shoemaker Bay Harbor parking lot with vertical bridge to allow a new cell tower and expansion of the property.
And I'll second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Corson.
And Madam Mayor, I believe we have the project manager for this project, Matt, on the line. If anybody had any questions.
Kendall's on the line as well.
Okay, and his name is Matt?
Matt.
All right. Oh, welcome, Matt. We do have some questions. Assembly Member Howe?
These I and J, it's the same company and the same. They're related, aren't they, these projects? Why is one delayed and not the other one?
Because we were unable to get, because of a communication error, we were unable to get the appraisal for the first one.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a general explanation about what he's.
Okay, yes. Matt, this is Vice Mayor Gilbert. Would you give us just a general explanation of what you're proposing?
Oh, Matt.
Matt, are you on the line?
Is anybody on the line?
If Joel Arrow with Lakes Consulting is on the line, if Matt's not on, I can speak to it. Let me look at Shoemaker real quick. They're just proposing an expansion of the facility down at Shoemaker. I got to look at the drawings real quick. I was prepared to speak to the other one, but I apologize. But it's an expansion of that facility to allow Verizon coverage in the area.
Okay, to allow 5G in the area?
It's not 5G, this proposal, one second. I can answer that real quick, but no, that one's not 5G.
Oh, okay. All right.
Sorry, Joel, we put you on the spot.
I got to bring stuff up. I can speak to the other one, and I'm looking at the RFDS. It is not, it's an LTE site, so it's 4G. It's not a 5G site.
Okay, but it is a triangular tower. You're going to tear down the old pole and put up a, they call it a lattice cell tower. And then you have the cable.
I don't know if I have plans for this one, because I didn't. Let me look here.
Well, the lease we have in front of us allows you to sublease the cell tower, and I had questions about, you know, is there a limit to the number of antennae that you put on this type of 125-foot tall tower?
Specifically the Verizon proposal, there is a limit, and it's based on structural capacity of that tower. The Verizon proposal on that tower is, one second, I apologize, I'm bringing it back up. I think it's center line 124, tip high, RAT, true, quantity. I think there's six antennas, LTE antennas.
Okay, you said six?
For the Verizon proposal. Yeah. So, and I don't know, I've been to that site, and I think that GCI has, I could look at the package in the drawings, but I believe GCI has, I'm not sure what they have on the tower itself. I apologize, one second here. I can't, without looking at the plans, and I don't have, I'm gonna have to download them real quick. But yeah, there is a limit. I mean, this, what I do know is that there is, you know, I think that there's a limited amount of carriers, in the area. So yeah, AT&T, I believe, has a site there that has coverage in the area. So this one's gonna be GCI and Verizon.
And then according to FCC regulations, can you deny another carrier an antenna or a position on your tower if you have that capability?
Deny to preclude them? No, they, I mean, the goal would be that this power is full available for additional carriers if they were to come to Southeast Alaska. So, I mean, I'm just thinking, potentially, there's other carriers, Dish, Networks, T-Mobile. I don't think T-Mobile will come up, but I think Dish in the future potentially could be providing service. But I'm not certain about that. I mean, that could or could not happen for quite a while.
Okay.
But they would be, you know, if a future carrier came to Wrangell to provide coverage, they could co-locate on that tower and it eliminate the need for additional towers.
Okay.
So, and then I'm bringing up the plans, I'm downloading them now that are in the packet. I just haven't looked at this one, so.
Well, I
apologize.
You're doing just fine. I think I have just general questions. There was a statement that I think Verizon made that they would relocate the water line at their expense, but I didn't see that in the lease, or I didn't see a separate legal document. That might be a good thing to wrap up legally.
It is specifically called out that they will do that, but we can add that to the lease.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. And then there's a lease and then a memorandum.
The memorandum of lease is for recordation. That's the document that gets recorded.
Okay.
Yeah.
With the state and the feds. Okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry. That actually didn't need to be part of the packet.
Oh, well, anyway, it was interesting. It made me ask that question.
It's typical.
Okay.
Now, any lease we do, we always do a memorandum of lease.
Okay, and then in section 9, trying to read my notes here, where it says utilities, it says in the lease that they will maintain and repair their electrical meter and line. We don't want them to do that. We want our electrical department to do that, don't we?
I might not be capable.
That it depends on what the situation is. If they've got their own electrical in there, they may have electrical folks that can do that. I'll confirm the.
Just to back up and looking at the plans for replacement tower that's being proposed. I got the plans open. It's a monopole, so it is not a. It's not a
ladder
structure.
Okay.
It actually states that in the
page 278. Page 278.
Okay.
Yeah. And that is on 277. And then it shows the compound layout.
Okay.
Yeah.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
Yes, so this is Rod Rhodes. And I will tell you that our services extend to the meter, but electrical contractors would extend beyond the meter.
Which means if they have their own own staff that is certified to do that work, anything that is beyond the meter to their own services, to their own infrastructure, would be handled by them.
Okay. And then...
That's correct.
Okay, then do if when they sublease and put additional antennas, then we need the public to know that this is not 5G, correct?
No, it's LTE, he said.
Oh, that was the Port Commission report said it was 5G, but
yeah.
He said it wasn't.
So it's not 5G.
Is there a problem with it being 5G?
Well, some people, there's different opinions about 5G, and it causes some controversy. But this is not 5G. Is that correct?
The Verizon, and I can't speak for the GCI. I'm almost 100% certain that the GCI coverage is not 5G, and the Verizon service that's being provided from that tower is not 5G, it's LTE.
Okay.
I don't know, I'm sitting here reading through this, AWN, GCI doesn't provide 5G service, so I am safe in saying that.
Okay, but perhaps in the future they might. And what my question is, when you sublease and have all these antennas, obviously you're subject to federal and state regulations and FCC, but you are individually as a company, but what about the combined effect of all your subleases? Is there a way to gauge the radiation output from that?
Typically, I can speak what was proposed on the proposal at the transfer station. And what we said was provide a near report, which is a non-ionizing electromagnetic radiation report. And as part of the conditional use permit, I believe that would be a clause and release that we would provide that documentation. And that basically is our RF emissions report that shows you that Verizon would be operating in compliance. I think that's what we recommended doing, and then we provided an ear for the proposal over at the transfer station, and that's something that we could certainly do here. I work for Lanes Consulting, and I was here for the other side. I just wanted to answer the question for you guys, and I mean that's certainly something that can be provided.
We can, Madam Mayor, we can add that to the lease if you would like.
Yeah, because it only speaks to the main leasor, leasee, and not to the subleases that
okay.
they may or may. So we need to have some language in there that takes into consideration the totality.
May I ask a process question of the clerk?
Yes.
Does that require an amendment to the, or is that guidance? We can just add that to the lease. If you would like them to amend it to requiring a near report anytime a new carrier is added.
If we could just give, if the assembly has any objections to adding something like that to the lease, I think that would be all right.
Does assembly members object to that?
Well, I do have one question. If they add more to this anyways, doesn't it have to come before the assembly anyways again? Or can they just do that anytime they want?
They can, but they are required to pay us for that. So the new lease, the way it's written, is anytime another carrier is added, they are required to pay us a portion of what a percentage. So the second carrier that goes on there, they pay us 30% of what they're charging that company. The next person, the next company that goes on, it's 40%, and the net after that, it's 50%.
Okay.
So we are...
Hi there. I just wanted to state that Kendall Volker from Vertical Bridges on, and I didn't know if we were discussing one of the three cell towers that we have with the city of Wrangell.
This is Joel Arrow with Waves. Hey, Kendall, thanks for joining. I was sitting waiting. They were discussing Shoemaker.
Ah, perfect timing. Wonderful. Hello there.
Hi, Kendall. We've actually been discussing it for quite some time.
Oh, my apologies. Matt Grugan is also having technical difficulties, so I'm trying to make sure he is getting on. I do have one question. I'm sorry, very, very sorry to interrupt the assembly, but is there only one Zoom conference ID per attendee, or is it a general dial-in?
It's a general dial-in, Kendall. You don't have to put your ID in there. You just need the meeting ID and the password, and that's it. You don't have to put a user ID.
Okay. Matt said he is on. Okay. Thank you so much. My apologies for interrupting.
Okay. So back to my suggestion of rewriting the lease to include information on the output or the
non-ionizing.
Yeah, the non-ionizing radiation output of the combined.
Yes.
Okay. And no one objects to that. And the tower will not exceed 125 feet. Is that correct?
Okay.
Okay. And then I did have a question about the percentage of the subleases. I thought there could be a way that they could kind of decrease the amount of money that they owe the city. You know, when they talk about rent, and usually I think with cell tower leases, aren't there usually monthly fees involved?
There are. It's a monthly fee.
Oh, okay. Well, rent and...
You rent, and then monthly, whatever they're charging the other company, based on that scale, they will pay to us monthly that percentage.
Okay. So instead of calling it rent, can you call it a monthly payment that they pay on, a percentage of that? I'm thinking of rent and then fees.
So it's called revenue sharing, and it should be defined in the amendment that I did provide, but if not, I can certainly carve out certain language. However, the revenues that would be received by Vertical Bridge would be whatever increase, whatever it is, the percentage would be remitted directly to the city. And we have our escalator, I believe our escalator is 2%, which is congruent with the city as well. So as if there are any nominal increases, like I said, the city would receive that percentage. And it's called revenue sharing.
Okay, and that happens monthly, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Or annually, it's entirely up to you, but yes, monthly is standard.
Okay, I have my questions answered. Anyone else have any other questions? All right, poll vote, please.
Okay. Assembly Members David Powell?
Yes.
Ryan Howell?
Yes.
Corson?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. And thank you for calling in.
Special meeting we're planning on having the
other
two on that.
Okay. August 10, Tuesday at 6 p.m., we may need to have you on again, and that's when we'll talk about the cell tower at the landfill.
And the water treatment.
And the water
treatment. And the water treatment plant. Okay. And our clerk will be in touch with you.
Okay.
Wonderful. Is there anything additional that you need from Vertical Bridge prior to the August 10th meeting?
We'll let you know. We'll be in touch to let you know for sure.
Okay.
Thank you. Item K, approval of the Parks and Recreation Employee Handbook. This is on page 295.
Move to approve to the Parks and Recreational Employee Handbook.
I'll second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Corson. Administrative report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is a handbook for the temporary employees of the Parks and Rec Department that the Parks and Rec Director has drawn up. She worked with our attorney to make sure that it was appropriate and did not in any way conflict with our existing personnel regs. So it has been reviewed by myself and the attorney and approved for moving forward.
Any questions? Assemblymember Howell?
I just want to express appreciation for Kate. I've had to write policy manuals, and it's a thankless job, and people spend 10 minutes approving it. And you know, but good work, Kate.
Thanks for that. Agreed.
It's very thorough.
Yeah.
All right.
Any other questions? All right. Poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly members David Powell?
Yes.
Corson?
Yes.
Brian Howell?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bowers?
Yes. Item 13L, and this is on page 308, approval to convey two fire department vehicles to the Wrangell Volunteer Fire Association for a divestiture.
Move to approve conveyance two fire department vehicles to the Wrangell Volunteer Fire Association for divestiture.
I'll second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Corson. We have our fire chief here. For the public, would you like to explain what we're doing?
Sure. Tim Bienos, fire chief, City of Wrangell. The Firefighters Association has, in the past, purchased the smaller vehicles and turned the title over to the city. Also, in the past, the city has given us the titles back for those particular vehicles. The Firefighters Association, of the 12 vehicles that we currently have in service, the Firefighters Association has purchased 6 of those. We have in excess of $100,000 over the last probably about 30 years in vehicles. As the opportunity arises, we like to upgrade those vehicles so that we don't have a whole bunch of them needing to be replaced at any one time.
And the city does provide insurance on the vehicles while
they
have the
provide
the
insurance and the maintenance, yes.
Correct, yes. Any questions? Discussion? All right. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Corson?
Yes.
Brian Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. 13M, it's on page 311. Approval of the FY22 Marine General and Warfinger Legal Liability and Excess Liability Insurance Policy with Travelers Property Casualty Company of America through the Petersburg-Wrangell Insurance Company in the amount of $27,075.
Move to approve FY22 Marine General and Wayfinger Legal Liability and Excessive Liability Insurance Policy with Travelers Property Casualty Company of America in the amount of $27,075.
I'll second.
Motion by Powell, second by Corson. Administrative report.
Thank you. I appreciate you bringing this on the floor for action since we need this insurance.
I know.
This is our marine liability insurance for the city, and we carry excess liability insurance there, as you can see. This premium has increased just slightly since last year, and I'm not necessarily sure we can do anything about that. When an insurance increases 10% or less, I consider ourselves pretty darn lucky, and so this is about a 7% increase. But this is being brought to you, obviously, because the total amount of this insurance renewal is over my spending authority of $25,000. And then just as a reminder, those insurance items that I renewed because they were under $25,000 were outlined in the report that was under the manager's report earlier.
That's good to see what we pay in insurance. We always have this question during budget time, and the insurance is divvied out to different departments, and it's always difficult to follow. So I think this is the first time I've ever seen policies presented like this.
It is. And it was an exhaustive exercise, but it was worth it because now I know what our insurance is down to the detail, and you now know what that insurance is, and it is now already divvied out to the departments, to their department budgets, with the exception of those things, as I indicate in the agenda statements, that I still need to figure out, like these other liability things that have gone into prepaid insurance that I have to figure out how to divvy out. Everything has been line itemed in their budget. So you can see what vehicle it is, and it's, yeah.
We have a lot of vehicles.
We have a lot of vehicles.
Okay, any other questions? All right, poll vote please.
Yes, Assembly members Ryan Howe.
Yes.
John Rinkle.
Yes.
David Powell.
Yes.
Corson.
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Power.
Yes. Item 13N, it's on page 315, approval of the FY22 property, auto, liability, and workman's comp insurance renewal with Alaska Public Entity Insurance through Wrangell Petersburg Insurance in the amount of $397,923.83.
Move to approve fiscal year 22 property, auto, liability, and workers' compensation insurance renewal and Alaska Public Entity Coverage, APEI, through Wrangell Petersburg Insurance in the amount of $923.83.
Second.
Okay, motion by Corson, second by Powell. Administrative report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think it's easiest if you look on page 315 there. If anybody's got any questions, I broke this down for everyone by property type and compared it to what the cost was last year. And then at the end of the agenda statement, I broke it out by building, by mobile equipment, and by automotive so that you could see what is going to each different department. So if anybody has any questions there.
Assembly Member Powell. Oh, how
the hospital legacy? That's the empty old hospital.
That's the empty old hospital.
28,000. That's our biggest item.
Yeah.
To insure an empty building.
To insure that empty building and property. Yep.
Is that your question too?
Oh no.
Okay. Well, that's okay.
Assembly Member Powell.
So, my question is vehicles.
Yes.
We have. So I'm going to have a lot of questions about it. We have two police boats mm-hmm. that we have never seen anything like this before. We've always had the cost of $5,000 in our budget. That was for maintenance costs only. We've never seen anything like this.
I know you haven't.
Okay. And then the other one is we have vehicles out there in public works. One of them is, I can't remember the hours on it. I'm sorry because I looked at it. A dozer that sits out at the by the shooting range.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what we pay for that for cost of insurance.
So I have all of those broken down.
Okay.
I this agenda statement would have been 72 pages if
okay.
If you would like to see the cost for each vehicle, we have that spreadsheet.
What I'd like to see is when we come to our budgets that we see these costs and that we know what it actually costs to have a boat in our facilities, a dozer that's hardly ever used in our facilities, and because each month this is costing us so much money, right? So if we're not using them, then we get rid of them. Because if we can rent a dozer for 1, 2 to 3 days a month from somebody,
mm-hmm.
then this is ridiculous to have some piece of expensive equipment that we don't use. It's not correct for us to do that. Okay, boats same way. if we're not going to use them, then, and it's costing us, so according to this now, it's costing us over $10,000 to have one of them.
No, it's $5,000 for the police boat. $5,000.
And maintenance cost in the budget every year is $5,000. That says $5,000 for maintenance cost of that.
That's not the amount that has been being spent every year. That's
but I know, but allocated. We approve $5,000 yes, in the budget every year.
I will tell you this: the boat is being used regularly now, and I will have the police chief report on that at the next meeting. Actually, it's in the water and it's being used every week. True story.
Good.
Yeah. They're patrolling with the boat.
I mean, we're not out there 7 hours a day. I mean, we're out there, you know, probably 2 hours a week. It's a concern.
Yeah, it's when I just say that it. I agree, Tom. It's a concern of mine to see something of this magnitude and not being used. And then so in that turn, I would like to see a report somewhere of what it actually costs. Vehicles per hour per cost, and you know what I'm going at.
I know
exactly.
I know.
So if you have a vehicle sitting there, I'm going to say it just like this. I used to own an airplane. Okay. And it cost me about, you know, if I was to fly it, I could rent Mike 10 times for what it cost me to have that plane. So I'm just saying that if we can save money on not having these things sitting there and basically deteriorating away, and we could actually give money out to somebody else that has to do the cost of it all, I think we would save money in the long run.
So I will be very honest with you. Mr. Wador and I had this conversation when we went through the budget preparation this year about a couple of items. And I said, I will not move something forward to the assembly until I can see proof that we cannot rent it for cheaper. I need to know what the number of hours is or days we're going to use this for this year. And you have to prove to me that we can't rent it for cheaper. And I said, even if we, let's say we bought a piece of equipment, I don't know, for $20,000, I'm just making it up, $20,000, and we have it for 10 years, so that's $2,000 a year just for the, you know, amortize the ownership. Let's say we spend $2,100 or $2,200 a year. In my mind, that's money going back into the economy rather than it being stuck circulating in the borough. That's better for the economy here locally for us to be spending that money with a local business. So it's got to be, in my opinion, moving forward, we have to really be able to justify that it's a massive expense beyond what it would be for us to rent, or that it is a matter of response. Like, we don't have the ability to get something. You know, if we have to respond in an emergency, we absolutely have to have that thing stand by for us 100% of the time.
I agree.
Yeah. So that is the hurdle that has to be passed moving forward with vehicle purchases for specialty equipment for certain. Yep. So Madam Mayor, before Assemblymember Howe speaks, can I ask one question? So Assemblymember Powell, are you asking at budget time for you want for this vehicle, we paid $1,000 insurance, we spent $2,500 in mechanics time and $3,000 in parts for this vehicle for this year? Is that what you're looking for each vehicle?
The only way I can really go about it is to ask you to say yes to that question, okay? Yeah. But that's not what I'm really looking for. What I'm really looking for is a piece of equipment that sits that we could possibly rent 5 hours a year,
right,
that's sitting there worth $80,000 to $90,000 to $100,000,
okay,
to $300,000.
Understood.
That why are we keeping something like that when we could rent it for $2,000 to $3,000,
right,
a year,
right,
that we could do?
Okay.
That's what I'm really looking for. Yeah. Now, I'm not looking for a pickup truck that drives around and gets 30,000 miles on it,
right,
what it's costing us and all that stuff. I mean, hopefully that we're doing our due diligence, that if a vehicle starts costing us a lot of money, we get rid of it or get it out of our fleet. I'm looking for the things that sit around that we don't necessarily use and we are paying a lot of money to keep.
Got it. Okay. So that's, we need to be doing a budget analysis for that on equipment and specialty items, mm-hmm, within the fleet.
Okay. And I understand that we have to have stuff in limbo in case something happens. So I understand that, but there's a lot of stuff that we have in limbo that we never even use anyways, or we use very, very little. That's not emergency use.
Right. Do you, would the assembly like to see the breakdown? So the sheet that they gave us that lists each vehicle on, we had to make some amendments to, just because we were transitioning some items out of the fleet and putting some new items in. So when that is revised, I will get that to you, and you can see exactly what each vehicle costs, if you would like.
I would like to see that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
And then Assembly Member Howe?
I mean, I just want, do you have any insight into why the hospital is, it's almost double the next most expensive property to insure? And it's, like, the pool is full of people in the water, like kids, and they're insured for, like, you know?
That's liability insurance.
Okay, but the Nolan Center, bigger? Like?
No, not bigger.
Not bigger?
Mm-mm.
So it's just based on size, or is it because it says hospital?
A lot of it's based on size. They know that the hospital is vacant. I'll find out. I'll ask that question.
I mean, I understand we want to keep it insured, so like before we decide what to do with it, so that if there's not some big damage, we're out that much more. If we were planning to use it or sell it or something like that.
In fact, we would like it to blow up. So we get insurance money.
Honestly, yeah, maybe that's enough right there. But I just, that's... There's the byline. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? We do need to remove those two items when we give those two trucks back to the volunteer fire department.
Yes, we will be removing. So I believe the fire truck has already been removed.
Okay, it is on the list, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's $1,000, right
exactly.
There.
Yes.
So, and we do take an inventory to make sure that...
Kim just got done doing that with all of our vehicles, actually matching up the exact titles that we have in our possession to what is on the list.
It's been years.
Yeah.
I did it when I first came to the borough
10
years ago.
Okay.
And it hasn't been kept up.
All right. So it is now. All right. Any other questions? All right. Poll vote, please.
Assembly Members Corson?
Yes.
Brian Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Jacob Howe?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes.
Madam Mayor, can I just ask a point? Yes. So this information is helpful to you guys, seeing it in this amount of detail.
Extremely helpful, because I've had this hidden fear that we've been double insuring our school buildings.
Oh.
That has been my fear. And I've asked other financial directors for the city to double check. And I never did get an answer. So finally, I have the answer.
But what I still need to get down is, like, what is other liability? I still don't know what's included in that, and I need to get that information from Alaska Public Entity Insurance.
Right, yeah. Right. All right. The attorney's file is available for assembly review. We're going to recess at 7:33.
We need a motion.
Oh, into executive session after we get a motion that says we
pursuant can. To AS 44.62.310C3, I move to approve that we go into executive session and invite the borough collective bargaining team, borough manager, and attorney to discuss and provide an update to the status of the collective bargaining negotiations, a matter which by law, municipal charter, ordinance is required to be confidential.
Second.
All right, motion by Powell, second by Howe. Any discussion?
Thanks.
All right, poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly Member David Powell?
Yes.
Corson?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes.
Sorry, I didn't mean to call Assembly Member Corson.
It caught me off. Yeah, I figured I was going to agree anyway.
All right, we will recess at 7:34.
Terry has to wait outside until we're done, right?
No, he doesn't have to
do that. What?
He can go. We have enough to...
What's for dinner, Terry?
I should have voted no.
You could?
Yeah, I know. He'd come over that table and...
They said it wasn't.
Yeah, they said it wasn't.
But then it said in the thing that it was.
I'll confirm.
Yeah.
I'll let you know.
Oh, I wrote you a note.
10 minutes, let me know. My deadline's in 10 minutes.
I cannot.
I would say that he said it was not.
He said it was not.
That it's LTE.
Joel.
Oh.
I would never have had the patience with a straight face to ask this question. I would have been like, are you serious? I'm sitting there thinking like...